You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We will get back to the Knicks stuff. Good job by them. Really good run. Fun. I enjoyed it. You know, I used to dump all over it. The comp, contrived, lame, weak. What are we doing? NBA stinks. They lost their way. Not that I'm leading the shouts of glee, but I definitely enjoyed it. I enjoyed the semis. I enjoyed last night. It really just comes down to this: interest, passion, play hard, play with purpose. You know, the way the NBA used to be, and that's really good to see. So I did enjoy it. Some of you, of course, are not feeling it. Some of you, of course, are maybe going a little bit over the top. I would say I'm somewhere in between. Certainly more, much more toward the enjoyment side. All right. I got to issue a warning here. I don't even really need to sell this too hard. Let me just give you a few very quick thumbnail bullet points. So, there is one MLB writer, let's name Schoenfeld. I don't really know him too well, but he is a reputable writer. He predicts that the Mets will get Bellinger for 6 years, 180. That's his prediction. I told you I was watching Sports Night last night, as I often do. And they were debating about, and certainly talking about how the Mets are, quote, very in on Cody Bellinger for his services. That as per Mark Feinsam. Okay. Now, the way I feel about Bellinger is I would love for him to come back to the Yankees. I really would. He does, and we know what he does, so I'm not wasting anybody's time telling you what he does. What he does, they need. Now, the problem is, what he does, the Mets also need. And the reported deal, and Schoenfeld, I believe is how you say his name, not only did he give you specific contractual parameters, 6 years, 180, he went so far as to say he thinks it's going to happen or predicts in the next couple of days. So, in all probability, before Christmas. Things could break down. There's a million different people out there with a million different sources. I'm not taking this as gospel, but I'm certainly not here to refute it. He's a reputable journalist, and I respect that. And, you know, I've known Feinstein for a long time. I like his work. I think he's good. I don't think he's one of these sensationalists, which drive me crazy. So when he says the Mets are, quote, very in, I'm buying that, and I believe it. Okay. Now, Bellinger at 8 years, which is not going to happen, is sheer idiocy. I think Bellinger at 7 years is irresponsible. I think Bellinger, if he goes to the Mets for 6 years and Hal Steinbrenner allows that to happen, that should be probably much more even than Soto, the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened under his watch. Because it's one thing to swoop in and, you know, make these concessions, which, by the way, I'm kind of happy the Yankees did make all those sweet concessions for Soto's family. Don't get me wrong. Would have been nice to see a couple of more years of Soto and Judge. It was phenomenal for the 1 year. But big picture, you know, the defense, lack of foot speed. I know he stole 40 bases. He's Ricky. I know. My bad. I just don't think he's going to age incredibly well, but I think it's an irresponsible contract. Now, the Mets could get out of it. He can opt out. Mets decide if they want to tack on some more money, they keep him or not. So it's not really basically a decade and a half worth of contract if they don't want it to be. So that's the trap door, which was smart by the Mets, right? But that's one thing, because I can compartmentalize all the good stuff and all the things that I think made that contract unnecessary for the Yankees to keep going, They went pretty far, and I was fine with it, all right? And they lost out, and he's a Met. And he had a good season, and I think this year he'll have a better season because he'll be more consistent, hopefully from the start and hopefully with runners in scoring position. But that's the Soto situation. If you allow the Mets to swoop in and take Bellinger, that is an unforgivable offense. It really is. Now, again, this is just an estimate. This is somebody, you know, throwing out numbers, 6 years, 180. If it's 7 years, 190. If it's 8 years, which it won't be, but I'm just saying, whatever, stop. Not interested. I'm not even interested in him for 6 years, quite frankly, because I do think this has gotten to a point where he's now, like, how we present Bellinger is a little heightened. I mean, you know, it's great to be versatile, truly. And it's great to make contact and play multiple positions and have some pop and be a good fielder and have pretty good wheels. But, I mean, geez, not Ken Griffey Jr. or Bonds or A-Rod. Relax. Or Aaron Judge. But because of the desperation and the holes, the Mets more desperate because they have more holes. But the Yankees have holes as well because you don't know what Jones and Dominguez really are, et cetera. You don't know if Grisham bangs 34 home runs again. And you don't really know if Ben Rice can handle first base. So because of all that, the Yankees should be beyond motivated to keep him. I don't think that they are. I'm not really feeling it. See, let me tell you the way this works. The way this works is, it doesn't mean that it's always right, but when you get something that definitive, that concrete, 6 years, 180 for one guy, Feinstein, Mets are very in, you haven't heard a peep about the Yankees with Bellinger. Now, maybe that is a good thing. Bellinger knows them. He knows them, and they know him, I should say. So there's really not a lot to volley to the media, to plant stories, just to get a little extra juice. And, you know, the leverage is what it is. Like, all right, I'm going to ask for this, and you know what I can do, and you're either willing to pay it or you're not. And at that point, Bellinger's going to have to make a tough decision. Whereas with, you know, the Mets and his agent, you know, you want to get that out there because you want to create competition. And if the Mets weren't interested in Bellinger, and the Dodgers, who I think have tepid interest, I don't think he's going to wind up there, even though they've been connected. But if you took out those two teams, who's really chasing him outside of the Yankees? Maybe Toronto if they whiff on Tucker, right? Maybe. So you're creating a market. But 6 years, 180 is the drop dead point for me. I'm not going to year seven. He's not worth it. But if he goes to the Mets and it is 6 years, and, like, the Yankees have the ability to top that, at least in terms of money, maybe not years, and they don't, then that is just, that's just unacceptable. That is unacceptable. You cannot let the Mets swoop. And I've tried not to make this, and this was a mandate that me and Sal had probably halfway through the show, like after the first year. Like, it always seemed to be, we're talking about the Mets, and then the Yankees pop in. We're talking about the Yankees, then the Mets pop in. No, I'm not trying to do this here, but they are not two separate issues. The Yankees need Bellinger. The Mets need Bellinger. The Mets took Soto from you last year. The Mets seem poised to take Bellinger from you this year. The onus is on the owner to step up, push everybody else out of the way. Cashman, you know, the analytical nerds, whoever they are, get out of the way. Get me on the phone like you got on the phone with Judge from Italy. What do you need to make it happen? And make it happen. The PR hit, you don't recover from that. Like, you might get me once. You get me again in back-to-back years? Well, now the tides are turning. And I know the Mets didn't have as good a season as the Yankees, and they haven't won since 86. But perceptually, everything that we thought Cohen would do, you know, outside of keeping Pete, and I know that bothers you, I get it, but he's not done. And if he comes back into your crib and takes one of your valued players who makes you better at three different spots and who so cleanly fits behind Judge, and you don't fight back, then what the hell does the Yankee aura really mean at that point? What does it mean? He's not a perfect player, but he's perfect for you. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. 888-808-1019. It's BT on the Fan. Let me get, all right, Larry's up in Westchester. Get back to these calls. What up, Larry?
BT, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Can't complain. Listen, BT, again, with Bellinger, yeah, the Mets really, really need him very badly. But I still think when push comes to shove, Hal's going to step up and do the right thing. He's going to end up back with the Yankees. Probably for the 6 years, the $30 million, $180 million. I don't think you have anything to worry about as far as that goes.
To me, that's not how I operate. I don't just expect things to happen like I used to because they're the Yankees. And I'll let you, I know you want to make another point. See,
yeah.
And I'll let you, I promise. There was a point, and every Yankee fan knows where I'm coming from when I say this. Like, it didn't matter who it was. It didn't matter how much it was. Giambi, didn't get Giambi, of course, with the Yankees. Oh, Matsui from Japan, of course we're going to get him. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it went. And that was the expectation. Yeah, we're going to win the World Series. Why wouldn't we with the Yankees? I have not held on to that for a long time. Some people still do, even though that number is dwindling. So when you say I'm fine and they'll get him, I'm not taking anything for granted because it's a different mode of operation in the Bronx lately.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, BT. Like I said, I go way back with the Yankees and the Mets back into the 60s. And when Steinbrenner, the old man on the team, forget it, whoever he wanted, he got. It's changed drastically since Hal took over. But it's just since the Mets took Soto, I just don't feel that Hal's going to step up at the last minute and retain Bellinger.
He might, but he better.
Yeah, that's just my gut feeling about it. And I believe me, I'd love to see him in a Met uniform. He's perfect for us. That being said, I know it's early in the offseason, but I still haven't seen any kind of concrete plan what the Mets are going to do. They've let over $100 million walk out the door, and yet McNeil is still on this team, which mystifies me.
For now.
Yeah, for now. For now.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, I was all for blowing up the team. I talked to Sal about it.
Uh-huh.
But Alonso, how do you replace 40 homers and 120 RBIs despite the faults that he had?
Yeah.
I think that was a big mistake, and they're going to have a hard time replicating that production at first base. But we'll see what happens.
Well Larry, that's the
point.
Now, finish up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Larry.
No, that's it. I mean, they talk with San Diego. I heard some kind of rumors that they were interested in Tatis for Lindor, something like that. That wouldn't kill me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
As Lindor, I still think there's a lot more to him than meets the eye.
I feel you a little bit on that. Larry, thank you for the call, bud. Appreciate it. I mean, it's been a very quiet offseason. I mean, this time last year, you know, Sal's coming in here with the scepter and then the music and the red carpet and the purple robe. Like Carly Rae welcoming Soto. And I had to sit there and take it, and I did. But then my Yankees went out and did some good stuff. Got a closer who, up until last year, was the best in baseball. Better than Diaz. Not by much, but better. A little different, but better. Objectively speaking, not subjectively speaking. And they went out and they got Bellinger. And they went out and they did some things that I really liked. Goldschmidt didn't work out the way that I thought it might, but I thought the pivot was strong. I mean, all we're doing this year is losing guys, both teams. So that's got to stabilize itself really soon. It has been a very quiet, depressing hot stove. But I think what he just said about the Mets, how do you replicate Pete's production? You don't. And I've been saying this for a long time. And I think back then you were resistant to it because I don't think that you thought that Pete really would ever be gone. It sucks that he is. I get it. But never once did I say, no, go find another guy who's going to hit 40 home runs. There is nobody. I mean, it's like he's 37. When you're a fairly young guy and you're a prodigious home run hitter and you're a low maintenance teammate and you play every day and you've had some massive home runs and some big moments, generally your team doesn't let you leave. Usually. Except the Mets, which I agree with. But it was never, we'll find the next guy, put him at first base, 39 home runs, 113 ribbies, and oh yeah, by the way, hopefully a better fielder. No. My thought always was to build a better team. So you improve the defense, you're going to slice off 15 home runs, maybe more, but maybe get a higher average, maybe get fewer strikeouts, maybe get better on the bases, maybe become a better defensive right side, certainly with Semien and whomever you bring it for. It's going to be Polanco a little bit. And he's got good hands, so whatever, we'll see. But it was never like apples to apples. It was always, all right, Pete goes, there's an unconventional way to get better. That's what I've always thought. And they haven't done it yet. I mean, right now, the Mets are on a playoff team. Right now, their rotation stinks. They're not entering the season this way. Whereas the Yankees, if they don't get Bellinger, if he goes to the Mets or somewhere else, I don't really know what the pit. Maybe it's Bichette, maybe, which I'd be okay with, as I said yesterday. Now, he could play shortstop this year. When Lombard is ready, he could then go to third base because McMahon's deal will be up. And then Volpe, if he deserves it, could go to second base, where he's probably better suited with his arm. Like, that would be okay. I don't know that they do it. And I'll also say this, if they do get Bellinger, then that's probably it. Maybe one more arm. So there's not much more coming. But what does come, certainly for the Yankees and to a lesser extent the Mets, it's going to determine if they're a playoff team. Not if they're a World Series type of team. I think it determines if they're going to go to the playoffs, All right, Dove, let's get a mixed bag here, buddy. Yankees, Mets, Knicks. I wouldn't have it any other way, right? As we start to wind things down on the midday show. This is your final day, right? You and I will not
with
be...
you. Correct.
Oh, man. Not your final day. Your final day literally is the 31st, I think?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm going to have to say a couple of things to you later because you are off Friday, as you are for religious purposes. By the way, happy Hanukkah, Dove.
Thank you.
Did the mensch on the bench come by with any goodies for you?
No. I'm at the stage where I give the goodies, not receive the goodies.
Yeah, but do you buy into that commercialized stuff? I know you're all about...
No.
I didn't think so. Okay. But many are, and hopefully the mensch was dropping some good stuff for you. Although I did see you tweet the candy, like the coins. So
yes,
you are into it.
My wife bought some chocolate coins for my daughter.
Well, there you go.
I don't know if you saw the picture. It's what? Like Bitcoin instead of...
I saw it. I know, I did see it. So you're off Friday, and then Friday's my last day, and I'm off tomorrow, and you're working. So I got to say a couple things nice on the air about Dove. I just have to think what they are. Just kidding, buddy. 888-808-1019, BT on the Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
I told you last week about this awesome event that Sal and I have going on. It's coming up. Tickets going on sale tomorrow. Certain things I can get into, certain things I can't, out of respect to the company legally here. So I'm trying to, you know, make sure I do the right thing. But go to my account. It's all up there in terms of the details, where to get the tickets. I could tell you it's January 22nd. I could tell you that it's in New Jersey. I can tell you that Yankee manager Aaron Boone will join us. I can tell you that Sam and I are doing a live show. And it's going to be an absolute blast there. So there's not a ton of tickets. It's a fairly small venue by design. Wanted to keep it intimate. About 400 tickets or so. It's going to go quick, hopefully. So if you guys want to hang out with us, eat, drink, you know, hang out with us and Boone and all sorts of different packages. If you want to get there a little bit early, you can get that and, you know, meet Aaron and get a picture with him as well. So that is on all my social stuff. But I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're planning some fun things like a Sinatra impersonator. Could be a great time. It really just me and Sal doing what we did for you for 2 years here on The Fan. Just, you know, picking a few topics, bouncing around, getting nuts. And they give us uncensored, all right? So that's coming up. And the tickets go on sale tomorrow. Cannot wait. All right, it's 11:48, as I said. A lot of Jets and Giants stuff out of the chute. Wilkes is out. Fired as DC for the Jets. So that is not a good look for first-year head coach when you whiff on that and you whiff on the quarterback that you bring in. Yankees and the Mets. I have much more of an understanding what the Mets' offseason vision is. Now, that doesn't mean that the Mets are going to have a good season. I mean, the Mets, if they don't get going, the Mets might not be good at all. I know they've got more of a plan. But, like, right now, the Mets are a 70-something win team. I mean, they don't have much going for them. They got a lot of holes to fill. But at least I know what they're doing. They're stripping down with the vision, Stearns, of building back up bigger than it ever would have been with the core that just didn't win. Whereas with the Yankees, I'm like, well, I don't know. I know I love the pitching. You know, Judge is the man. And that's, you know, that's kind of where the conversation ends. I mean, if they miss out on Bellinger, I think Yankee fans are going to go nuts. And I would too, but I also, I mean, there's got to be a limit on what we're going to get Bellinger, right? It can't be, first of all, the Yankees won't do this, but it can't be a situation like say the Dodgers or even the Mets, like, all right, you know, you 6 years, whatever it is, a fairly pricey number. And then right away it gets to seven and the Yankees hang around for seven, even though they might not want to. And then whomever the other team, maybe the Mets tap out or the Dodgers tap out and the other team that stays in, they're like, hey, you know, we'll go 8 years. I mean, there's no way I'm giving Bellinger 8 years. He's not worth it. He's just not. I mean, you got to have a little perspective here. Bellinger is a good baseball player, one that I want back for the Yankees. I really do. For all the reasons that you know, he could play a million positions, makes contact, he fits like a glove, steady personality, a good Yankee. You know, he's the kind of Yankee that the Yankees used to have when the Yankees used to win championships. That kind of guy. Plug him here, low maintenance, gets the job done. But you can't get out of whack for somebody like Bellinger, who's never going to be a superstar. You know, he might not even be an all-star, you know, in the next couple of years for the Yankees. So I think they're going to kind of walk that tightrope. But if somebody comes in with an eight-year deal, or yeah, I don't even know if the Yankees go to seven, honestly. I think they might say six, and that's it. All right, let's get back to it. Mike's up in Stamford, Connecticut on the Fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, BT? I just wanted to say, you're the man. They're messing you up, taking you off. I met you at the opening day. Station, nothing but clash.
Thank you, Mike.
But what I wanted to say was, if they don't re-sign Bellinger, it is time to reevaluate the whole front office, the ownership, and everything. All right? It's more than Howe. It's more than Cashman. It's something going on with these analytics guys. I agree with your point about Rice, but until we move Stan, I have no idea what's going to happen. It's just all downhill from there. I just want to know why the Mets have a plan and the Yankees don't, when we're supposed to be big brother.
Hold on, Mike.
My little brother.
No, Mike. Forget about that. And thank you for the call. And thank you for the kind word. Yo, let's not get it twisted. Like, why do the Mets have a plan and why do the Yankees not? Well, because the Mets need a bigger plan, because the Mets aren't as good as the Yankees. They're just not. Now, the Yankees aren't as good as I want them to be, and they're not as good as Toronto. That was evident. Toronto smacked them. They're nowhere near the Dodgers. But the reason why the Mets are doing all this, these big things, is because they had to. Now, you could be of the mindset, and I respect it. I just completely disagree. Like, if they would have run it back, you know, Nimmo, Pete, you know, this and that, and Diaz, and, you know, overpaid Diaz. Not if they would have gone, you know, 3 or 69 or 66, which they offered. But, I mean, that would have been a very good deal. But if they would have overspent for him, you know, give up the entire farm for Skubal, and maybe, you know, Skubal comes here for 1 year and then he bounces. Like, the Mets just need to do a lot. The Yankees don't. Now, the Yankees got to figure things out. They're also in a little bit of a state of transition, because you talk about the Met prospects, the top Yankee prospect is just not ready. And that's Lombard. You know, to me, it's not Dominguez. He's a major leaguer at this point. I don't think it's Spencer Jones, because he's 25, and he's still in the minors, you know? And it's not like he was in AAA all last year. He was in AA, too. And I know he cranked 35 bombs, and I'm interested to see if it can translate. But he strikes out two times a game on the average, two, against minor league pitching. So he's got a lot of holes to fix. But the Mets versus the Yankees had more. So I get what the Mets are doing, and I don't need the Yankees to be ridiculously active, but I got to see a little something here. Now, the other thing that I would disagree with our last caller, Mike, you know, he said, you know, if the Yankees don't retain Bellinger, then you got to wonder, like, what's going on? Well, not if he signs for 8 years somewhere. Honestly, I don't want Bellinger for 8 years. I'm not of the mindset, do whatever it takes and deal with it down the road. Isn't that kind of how the Yankees got to this point? Stanton, Hicks, DJ, you know, all the names and all the tired conversations that we've had, you know, about the Yankees and their reluctance to eat some dead contracts, some bad contracts, some dead money. You want to just keep dealing with this forever? I'd kind of like to end that cycle myself. All right, let me get John on Staten Island. What's up, John? How you doing today?
Hey, what's up, BT?
Hey, John.
I hate to see you guys go, but all the best, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
For sure. I have a scenario I want to present to you.
Hit it.
So if you're a Giants fan, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a longtime Giants fan, as you may know. And if they wind up with the number one pick, would it be malpractice not to explore the possibility of potentially bringing Archie Manning with a new GM and a new head coach into the fold, considering the fact that you have a new GM, he could pick his own quarterback, and give him time to kind of like groom Archie until he's ready to play. Bring in, build the team the way you want to build it, opposed to trying to remix whatever Shane had done and what Daboll had done. And then you move Dart in a potential trade, or even, or you know what I mean, move Dart in a potential trade to try to replenish some of the picks that you might not, you might have been able to get if you traded the number one pick. What's your thoughts?
First of all, I don't know. I don't think Arch is coming out number one, so I don't think that that's very viable right there, Joe. I appreciate you thinking out of the box here, where you know maybe Dart is not absolutely the guy for the future. He would be my guy, but I'm open to other thought. The problem is, you know, all due respect, is Arch Manning even that good? Every time I watched him, I was utterly unimpressed. Hoff, have you seen him play at all? Arch, have you seen him play at all, outside of highlights? Yeah, I mean, I've sat down and I've watched him, God, I would say at least, I know I watched him against Ohio State, he was awful. Then he had a couple of games, whatever, that, I mean, you're supposed to win. He played against Florida, Florida's not even that good, and he didn't play very well. I'm sorry, I wasn't very impressed. There were just too many games. I saw him against Arkansas, and I saw against A&M. And I feel like every time I was watching Arch Manning, it was like the third quarter, and the Longhorns had no points. I don't mean a literal zero, but like just a very low-scoring team. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're supposed to be some transcendent superstar, forget about dominating the NFL. Could you dominate college? I don't know. I'm not saying that he's not going to be that player, but if his name wasn't Manning, I'm sorry. Nobody's talking about Arch Manning based on what he's put on film this year as a potential franchise changer. You're just not. When you throw 60%, he was like 61% completion, 61 in college. When that number is that low, that's not even good in the NFL. That stinks in the NFL. It's like where the Jet quarterbacks are. He's 61%. And by the way, some of the teams he played against, San Jose State, all right, UTEP, what is this acronym? Who the hell is this? HSA. I don't even know who this is. SH, who is it? Oh, Sam Houston. He played those three teams in a row. You know, when you start with Ohio State, it's okay to get a couple of layups, you know, after that. But San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston. Stop. I'm not really interested in the Arch Manning hype. I promise you, I've watched him. I've watched him quite a bit. I don't see it. Doesn't mean that he can't do it next year. This year, not interested. He's not ready. He's not good enough. 888-808-1019. All right, no reads, right? I'm good there. All right, so here's where we're at. We're at the Jets, basically anything. I got a week to go. Whatever. Whatever sports you want to talk about. 888-808-1019. BT on the Fan, back in a sec.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mark Belusis, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
All right, a Thursday midday. Melusis with you, the fan in New York, 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Pete Dove across the way. I'll tell you something I don't miss coming in here on midday, the traffic. Traffic getting in here is an absolute and complete utter nightmare. And I was out, at like 7:30 this morning. 7:30 this morning. Kids out with Donna, heading off to school, everything like that. Out of the house at 7:30 this morning. It took me an hour and 45 minutes to get down here. I don't miss that. I'll tell you that. But we got the next 4 hours for you. Take it right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Mark Melusis with you in for BT and Sal. Rolling right up next 4 hours. Plenty of time to chat with. Plenty of time to get into. Let's start it off with a little. And there's plenty to chat about. I mean, the Knicks making the right decision not to put up that dopey banner as far as the NBA Cup. And I like the NBA Cup. We'll get into that. Giannis, obviously, the rumblings, the rumors there. Not much as far as the Jets or the Giants concerned, other than the Jets firing their defensive coordinator, Steve Wilkes. I mean, who really cares at this point in time, given the disastrous season they've had and the Giants, obviously, decisions to be made by ownership following this season as far as the future of their general manager, Joe Shane. And we'll see exactly how that plays out as they're looking for a new head coach to try and win year two with their young quarterback in Jackson Dart. But we start off with a little bit of baseball. And, like, I've said it time and time and time again. Like, as we've seen, and we'll get to the Mets, but we'll kick it off a little bit of Yankee baseball here. You know, the Yankees, in terms of still waiting here, and they want to bring Bellinger back, and we heard Hal go out there and meet with the media a couple weeks ago and talk about the fact that he's got to pay the city every February, and you don't know how much money it makes. I mean, basically telling you it's hard to be. I mean, it is difficult. It is hard to be an owner in Major League Baseball right now in terms of, you know, you don't know how much money we're exactly making. I mean, it was one of the strangest. It was, and I said it at the time, you know, on that Sunday following it. It was late in the week when he did it. I said at that time, you know, if you're Al Steinbrenner, somebody needed to pull the Zoom link basically 10 minutes into that conversation and basically say enough's enough. You're not helping out the cause here. And I've said it, the other aspect when you come to the Yankees is this. How much does it bother you? See, Cashman could go out there and tell Adam Ottavino and others, you know, we're in it to win it. Either you want to be part of it, you want to be all in, or and if you don't want to be all in, I can come to me and I'll fix it. Well, here's my question for the New York Yankees is, how all in are you? And it's a legitimate question. Because when you look at the Yankees, and you can talk about the fact of the return of Gerrit Cole coming off Tommy John surgery, and the Yankee starting rotation is going to be really, really good. And, you know, they need to balance out that lineup. And they obviously would love to bring Bellinger back. And there's the rumors about Jazz Chisholm, even some concern about, you know, whether or not Anthony Volpe is going to be the Yankee everyday starting shortstop. That flew up, you know, 4 or 5 days ago. The issue when you look at the Yankees is this. The Yankees don't operate, and they haven't in quite some time, that their postseason failures bother them. They don't. They operate differently. Whether you want to admit it or you don't, that is exactly how the Yankees operate. Yankee fans, and I had one come up to me during the course of you know, two off seasons ago after they lost in embarrassing fashion to the Los Angeles Dodgers in 5 games and made the 3 errors in game 5, basically telling me, well, it was a really good year. No, no, you lost. That's the issue that you have. The goal here is to win. And I hate the modern day thought process when you think about professional athletics of, you know what, if I'm happy with the process, I can live with the results. That is inherently BS. The process should lead to the ultimate result, which is winning. And if it doesn't, the process is broken. Because that's why we're in it. There's not a Little League Baseball like Hoffman out in Eastchester. There's not going out there. You're not going out there playing peewee hockey. You're not playing mite hockey. You're not going out there playing flag football with the kiddos. So this is professional sports. And if you are not in it to win it, and if you want to tell me that you are, but you operate differently, I don't believe you. See, it bothers Yankee fans to an absolute tilt when you bring up the idea that the Los Angeles Dodgers are the new New York Yankees in Major League Baseball, and they are. They are the evil empire. They go out there as they added Edwin Diaz this offseason to correct an absolute issue in the back end of that bullpen. They go out there, they add high-priced free agents like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, like Roki Sasaki, like Freddie Freeman. They make the trade with the Boston Red Sox and bring in Mookie Betts. They go out there and operate that basically they want to, they don't want to kill you. They want to slice your head off. That's the way they operate. Win at all costs. Do the Yankees go out there and operate that way? No, they don't. The Yankees like to pat themselves on the back time and time again. They like to tell you, hey, you know what? Roll the dice when we get to October. We'll see what happens. Build for the regular season. Cross the fingers, as the old cliche goes, hope for the best come October. Regular season results doesn't necessarily impact or mean that you're going to be successful in October. And that, to me, you are minimizing those that performed well when you got to October. Those that were great when the pressure was great. Do you minimize Madison Bumgarner for what he was as an October pitcher? The excuse away, Clayton Kershaw, great regular season pitcher, Hall of Famer, an absolute stiff in October. What about Bernie Williams? Bernie Williams, really good baseball player. Love watching Bernie. Number 51. Burn, baby, burn, as Sterling would say. Very good regular season player. He was immortal when you got to October. Outside of Jeter, there was nobody else you wanted up in a big-time spot than Bernie Williams. Maybe O'Neill, but it was debatable. Now you look at the Yankees, instead of going out there and being in attack mode, and I'm not telling you have to go out there and spend like a drunken sailor, but what will lead you to believe? Were they in on Edwin Diaz? I mean, the Mets offered him 3 for $66. He got $69 million from the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he might have not wanted a pitch for the New York Yankees. Why don't you get involved? Because you think Bednar is just on the level of Edwin Diaz as a reliever, as a closer? That's the problem when you look at the Yankees. They'll tell you they're upset, as Hal is crying poor. They'll tell you that they're bothered. They'll tell you that the results are not good enough. Hal is telling you that everybody got along. I don't care. Not the Boy Scouts. Who cares if everyone sees eye to eye? The goal is, can you come together as a team? And the great ones do. That's the point. So as we've gone through here, and with the winter meetings have come and gone, and that has become an absolute bore fest, and that is a problem for Major League Baseball, right? But as the winter meetings have come and gone, and you're sitting here looking at this Yankee team, and you're saying, well, you know what? How exactly are we going to compete? The Orioles have gotten better. They added Alonso. We'll get to Stearns and the Mets here momentarily. But The Orioles have gotten a little bit better. You got the you got the Toronto Blue Jays going out there, big game hunting, bringing in Dylan Cease. And then you got the Yankees. And maybe we'll trade Jazz Chisholm. Maybe we'll think about moving Anthony Volpe. Listen, Volpe was never a player that was going to be, if you want to make this argument, was never going to be compared to Ozzie Smith, Omar Vizquel as a defensive player, regardless of the position he played at. Yankees could tell me about the gold glove that he won rookie year. I don't care. You watch him on a day-in, day-out basis, he's not a sound defensive player. But what was going to set Volpe apart was going to be what he was offensively for the New York Yankees. That's it. And the evolution of the Yankees, regardless of Hal telling me how much they spend in player development, well, outside of Judge, who else you got? I mean, Dominguez can't field. Wells, outside of hitting the ball over the fence from time to time, can't hit. And Duhar rotting away on the vine. Frazier rotting away on the vine. How about Greg Bird getting called out by, you know, Yankee management because he was dealing with an ankle injury? Greg Bird, at one point in time, Cashman thought he was the best hitter in the entire Yankee system, pro and minors. He rotted away. You want to say injuries played a role? Fine. Injuries played a role. Nobody developed. I mean, who develops? You get frustrated because the Yankees, as an organization, used to look at themselves in the mirror. And I probably have never done this in my life and felt good about themselves. Looked at themselves and, you know what? Like a young Adonis. You know, like Schwarzenegger when he was putting out those videos, right? He was like, you know, flexing this and that, right? All that kind of stuff. It was the Yankees and everybody else. Now you listen to the Yankees, and it's like they've got rabbit ears. Years ago during the pandemic, remember they wanted to be like the Rays. Now they're scared to death about being like being compared to Los Angeles Dodgers. You had Boone during the course of the regular season saying that the team needs to be more multiple like the Toronto Blue Jays. They're scared to death of Cohen. Unfortunately, Stearns has taken away the money from Cohen, but they're scared to death of Cohen and his $23 billion across town in Queens. And instead of the Yankees being out there proud as a peacock, and be like, you know what? We're the big, bad New York Yankees. We're worth, you know, $8, $9 billion, whatever the valuation is in 2025, late 2025, early, you know, going to be soon be early 26. The Yankees aren't happy with themselves. They're constantly looking over the shoulder. I'd like to bring payroll down. I have to pay the city $100+ million every single February. Just because we're pulling in $750 million doesn't mean that's pure profit. You don't know the expenditures that we spend every single year. We spend more money than any other team, than every other team in Major League Baseball on player development. Okay. Maybe that needs to be reassessed. Like, you brought in the analytics department to analyze the Yankee analytics and how they use analytics last offseason. Maybe the Yankees need to take a look at that as well. Because ultimately, and this comes from a place of love. Place of love. I used to show up as a kid at the old stadium in the Bronx, you know, with my dad, my mom. I had birthday parties there on a Friday night, sitting in the upper deck. Nobody was there! Steinbrenner at the time threatening to move the team to Jersey. You know, and the Yankees always finishing in second. Had good teams, you know, had stars. You had Mattingly, you had Winfield, you had Jack Clark, who they brought over from St. Louis. Guy I love, God rest his soul, Ricky Henderson. Made some terrible trades, but still, they were an entertaining team. So this comes from a place of love. Comes from a place of frustration when I talk about where the Yankees' mindset is right now. It's okay. Just tell me. Second place is good enough. Or making the playoffs is good enough. As you walk into the new Yankee Stadium, and it's that, you know, what do they call it? The Hall of Heroes, whatever it's called. Remember, what's the new stadium? What's it called? What's
the Great Hall.
The Great Hall, right? And you have the heroes of the past. And you have Ruth and Garrick and DiMaggio and everything, right? This organization was built on championships, right? The legends of the game. This is the place where legends played. all of that, right? Well, it's legends. Yeah, I agree with you. Oh, is that my Uncle Pete's in Astoria, Queens, growing up, hearing about the great Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio, and they used to, my dad and my Uncle Pete used to go to the old stadium in the Bronx and everything like that. Like, yes, I agree. That's why I became a Yankee fan. But it was also built on championships. That's what it's built on. Not giving it the good old college try. Not making it to October and hoping for the best. But winning. So I ask you, how much does it really bother the Yankees when you've seen their approach up until this point? Now, the offseason's not done. We haven't even rung in 2026 yet. Cody Bellinger is still out there as a potential, you know, free agent ad, a guy who fit the Yankees to a T and to an absolute T a year ago. But how much does it really bother the Yankees, the fact that they flamed out once again in the playoffs? That they haven't won a World Series since 2009, and it's soon to be 2026. That the Dodgers are really the new New York Yankees in Major League Baseball. That might bother you, but that is the God's honest truth. And that is no debate. The Yankees used to operate like it was them and everybody else. That's the way Los Angeles operates now. And they're out west. Every Japanese star that was hitting, you know, the open market, had an opportunity to come. You know, even the guys that were not particularly good, like Hideki Arabu, Keigawa, Matsui's great. But they wanted to be a Yankee. Now the Japanese stars, all they want to do is be Los Angeles Dodgers. It's all changed. But the Yankees can tell you about player development. Cashman, a couple, like three GM meetings ago, can go out there and scold the media and tell you that our analytics department is not as big as you guys make it out to be. Tell the media that he's waiting for, he's taking those apologies when Volpe's hitting 320. Listen, the day that Anthony Volpe hits 320 in Major League Baseball, I'll question whether or not it is Major League Baseball that I'm watching. And Hal's going out there talking about bringing down payroll and that it's tough to be a Yankee owner. Those are the times we're in. Don't worry, I'll get into the Mets and Stearns, who basically wants to strip down every star that you show up and watch City Field at. You know, Alonso gone, Diaz gone, Nimmo gone, maybe Lindor gets traded to the Padres. I saw the quote the other day. Well, Stearns doesn't like stars, he likes grinders, guys that are going to be there day in and day out. Well, tell that to the Met fan that's showing up there. You better win. If you don't win with those grinders, nobody's going to be showing up at City Field, and you know what? You're going to be looking for a job. 10:18, Malusis with you. It's a Thursday midday. We're just getting going. Get a little bit of baseball. Don't worry, we'll touch upon it all. We'll get into the Knicks, Giannis, the NBA Cup. What a championship it was the other night out there in Vegas over the San Antonio Spurs. And I like the NBA Cup, but we'll get into that. We'll touch upon the Jets and the Giants. Kostas will join us a little bit later on in the program as well. We'll roll it right up until 2. It's a Thursday midday. Malusis with you right here. Where else? The Fan in New York.
Brendan Tierney.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan.
What's going on, everybody? 10:02 on The Fan. It is Brendan Tierney with you. You know, I got to be honest with you. I know what the Mets are doing. I think we all know what the Mets are doing. The Mets are dismantling. The Mets are reassessing. The Mets are rebuilding. The Mets are, you know, restructuring. I'm very confused as to what the Yankees are doing, or maybe specifically what the Yankees are not doing. You know, it hit me last night, and you've seen a lot of the articles, you've heard a lot of the conversations, the baseball people that you guys trust, and that I certainly trust as well, the well-sourced people in the industry. You start to hear the Yankees connected to a lot of pitchers, whether it's Amai, whether it's Michael King, some other, and that's kind of been out there for a little bit. And every time I've heard that, I've been like, pitching? What? Make sure you get Bellinger, you know, go out, get another stick, like pitching. Now, I don't know that you really need pitching. Understanding, even then, that the Yankees have some issues at the top of the rotation. Well, I got to tell you, the more I thought about this, and it really crystallized for me last night, I don't know if the Yankees are getting Bellinger back. I really don't know. There's been this assumption, yeah, the Mets will come knocking, the Dodgers will come knocking, but at the end of the day, his dad won championships here. He loves playing with Judge. He loves the pinch runs, which, by the way, I believe. I definitely believe that. But I also believe that somebody, and I hope I'm wrong, but I do believe this today and last night, that somebody is going to come with a contract that the Yankees deem reckless, and they are not going to match, and Bellinger is going to be somewhere else, okay? And if that's the case, I mean, geez, if they don't want to give these 7 years, which I also do understand for baseball reasons, I do. If they don't want to go seven, let alone eight, which they're definitely not doing that. And nobody should go eight for Bellinger. He's not worth that. But if they don't go seven and he bounces, well, then you know that they're not going eight or nine for Kyle Tucker. Like, you already know that, right? So I'm thinking about this, and my focus has shifted now. Rather than what was the initial thought going into the offseason, hey, let's retool, let's retweak, and let's turn a good Yankee team into a World Series champion team, right? My mindset now is, hey, you know, let's do some stuff to make sure the Yankees don't drown in April or May. Because the circumstances the Yankees are looking at, and this is actually very worrisome. Let's say that they don't get Bellinger. All right, let's just assume for this conversation, he ain't here. Well, this, in all probability, will be the Yankee opening day lineup. Rice at, I'm not going to give you the actual batting order. I'll just go around the horn. Rice at first, Jazz at second, Caballero at short until Volpe gets back. And even when Volpe gets back, there's no guarantee that he's going to assume the job if Caballero's playing well. McMahon at third, Dominguez or Jones in the left field, Grisham in center, Aaron Judge in right field, Giancarlo Stanton the DH if he gets out of spring training and he can walk. I mean, of all those players, how many of those guys are truly, I mean, there's only one elite player there, obviously. But how many, like, are so desirable for other teams where they're like, oh, I got to have this guy. I got to have that. I mean, his starters. I mean, his frontline starters. The answer, and no disrespect, but the answer is very few. I mean, I love Rice, but he's not there yet. You know, Jazz puts up numbers, but I think they're a little hollow. I think he's sloppy. You know, Caballero, myself, I like the addition, but I think the more he plays, the more he's going to get exposed. You know, I've actually talked to Aaron Boone about this with McMahon. And then I saw the article, you know, what he said at the winter meetings, where they think they can unlock some stuff in Ryan McMahon's bat. All right, that sounds good. And I'm not saying that they can. That sounds good in January or December or when you first get to spring training and he's, you know, ripping bullets in the batting cage. Guy strikes out a ton. I mean, he's a strikeout machine and a relatively low average guy. And he's been playing for 7 years. I don't know that there's going to be some radical transformation for Ryan McMahon. Then you get to the outfield. All right, Dominguez, who is he? Don't know. Jones, who is he? Don't know. I didn't even want Grisham back in center. Judge is the man. Stanton is what he is. So as I look at this, and I don't think enough of you are viewing the Yankees this way. I think still too many of you are a little delusional. Well, do this, do that. Boom, Yankees win 100 games. Boom, Yankees get back in the World Series. Boom, Yankees win the World Series for the first time since 2009. I am more concerned with not drowning in April and May because a lot of their pitchers are not healthy. And I don't think it's highly probable that the Yankees are like, I'm just throwing out some horrendous, God, the WFAN, minus me, will be absolutely insane if the Yankees were like 11-19. And I'm not really forecasting that. But with the lackluster lineup, assuming Bellinger's not back, and a rotation to start of Fried, Schlittler, Heel, Warren, and Yarbrough between Toronto, who might get Tucker and is already better, the Orioles, who already got Pete and now we're going to start getting some pitching, and the Red Sox, who are done messing around and were a playoff team a year ago, you tell me that the prospects of a tough Yankee start aren't there? They're absolutely there. So what I am now reconfiguring how I want to build this team. Go out and get pitching. Go out there and get a surplus of arms, whether it's trading for Peralta, beat the Mets to it, you know, whether it's signing Michael King, beat whomever to it, including all three teams in your division. I actually think as Rodon, who should be back by early May, Cole, who should be back by May, you know, but when is he really Garrett Cole? I don't know. And then obviously Schmidt's the end of the summer. I mean, those are a lot of starts to navigate. And I love Fried and I love Schlittler, but Schlittler now second time around the league. Heel, last time we saw him in the postseason, he was awful. He was ripped. I like Warren, but, you know, back of the rotation guy. And, all right, Yarbrough's fine if your offense is cranking out a lot of runs. Like, I think there should be a complete reset and recalibration in your minds. Because I believe the Yankees have already reset and recalibrated their minds. 888-808-1019 is the number. BT on the Fan. Let's get to the calls here. Now, this is not all gloom and doom. Don't get me wrong. It's not. It's a practical route to remain competitive and afloat while the other pieces are on the mend and get back to the mound. Because if the Yankees aren't careful, and let's just say what we saw against Toronto with Heel is kind of who he's becoming. I don't know. Let's just say Warren doesn't take a step forward. Let's just say, I don't think this will happen, that the league catches up to Schlittler. I think he's an absolute beast, so I don't want to be overly negative here. But he's still a young kid. There's going to be bumps. You never know. And, you know, Max Fried threw the most innings he's ever thrown in his life last year. Is there any residual, you know, taxing this year? If there is, well, then the pitching, which on paper, in all, like in totality, whenever they're fully right, is going to be one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. I'm comfortable saying that. But in the interim, as they navigate the Rodon, Cole, and certainly Schmidt to a lesser extent stuff, you're trotting out a lineup right now that could be without Bellinger that has a lot of holes. You want to mess around with that? You want to mess around and risk being, I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff out, 7 games out at the end of April? That's not possible. Like, if you think, I actually think that Toronto's in the middle of trying to transform themselves into the East Coast, you know, Canadian version of the Dodgers. I think they're going full bore. I think they're going after Tucker. I know they're going after another arm. They've already made some moves in that rotation. They're not messing around. You know, you think Pete's going to hit 40 home runs for the Orioles? Probably. And I think the Red Sox are young, are electric, and are interesting. So get an Amai. Get a Michael King. And, well, what happens if you get those guys and then, you know, Rodon is eventually healthy and Garrett Cole's healthy? You got too many arms. Can never have too many arms. Put Michael King in the in the bullpen. There's always a way to figure this out. That's the plan. Because for the first time, like I've always kind of known, and I've said this with Sal, they're not going after Tucker. It's a pipe dream. But I've always assumed that Bellinger was coming back. Guess what? I'm no longer assuming that. I do not think that the Yankees will go the extra mile to get him. And I'm very worried that somebody will. 888-808-1019. BT here on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Our friends remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right. First up, Thomas Yonkers on the Fan. Tommy boy, what's going on? Thomas. All right. This is, I mean, come on. Hey, Frank's in Syosset. What happened, Frankie? Go ahead.
Yeah, gonna miss you, BT.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you, BT. I've seen enough of Dominguez. I think that, my personal opinion, I'd rather see Rice behind the plate. I think he has more of a bat than Wells.
I agree with that.
I think they should go after a legitimate first baseman. And you know, Ricky Ricardo fills in sometimes, and I love Ricky.
I love Ricky. He's awesome. Great dude.
Great guy, and he treats the callers great. And he had a reporter on his show a few weeks back that covers the Yankees on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter said that they're going out for a bullpen arm.
Okay.
Not even a starter.
Yeah, I'm certainly not here to refute, and thank you for the call there, Frank, to refute others' reports. I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. And what I'm hearing is that the Yankees might not go the extra mile for Bellinger. So if that's the case, I don't think there's another move out there, you know, with the versatility, with the defense, with some pop, with some lineup presence, with some wheels that the Yankees could get, plug in, and replicate what Bellinger did a year ago. So rather than get a dime store version of Bellinger, and I don't think there's anybody out there, even a dime store version, because he does everything well, I would almost rather say, you know what? let's just load up on the arms and, you know, hope Dominguez takes a massive step. I'm not saying this is the absolute winning plan. I'm just giving you an alternative plan. By the way, Ricky Ricciardo, I love that guy. So not this past season, it was 2 years ago. When did I do the Yankees game? Yeah, 2 years ago, right? Though 2 summers ago. So, I mean, obviously I've been to a million games and I've called a million games for different sports. Never called the Yankee game. It was an incredible thrill. It was awesome. And Ricky really showed me the ropes. Hey, by the way, maybe I'll get more Yankee games. I got some time. You know, I mean, Hey, Hal, stop yelling at you. You know? No, but Ricky, like, even just sitting down having dinner with Ricky, I remember sitting with Emmanuel, two or three of us, and Ricky was telling stories from his early radio days in Miami that I can't possibly get into now. He is a lunatic and a warm-hearted, very welcoming, great guy. So that last caller's assessment of Ricky was spot on. Great dude. John's in Danbury, Connecticut. What's going on, John? How are you?
Good, BT. Thanks for taking the call, man. I always appreciate your baseball takes. You know, I think the Yankees are stuck in this mindset, and I really am afraid that it's the future mindset going forward of we're good enough, and they put a lot of hope into a lot of these players. And I think that's fine up to a certain extent. If you have two, maybe three of those guys, a bench player that you're like, you know, we're hoping this guy takes a big step forward this year. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to unlock this with their bat. But I feel like that's half or two-thirds of the lineup now. Yeah, you have a sure thing in Judge. You know what Giancarlo is if we bring Bellinger back. But the rest of it, it's like, you know, Jazz is Jazz. He's going to bat, you know, 225, maybe 250 on a good year. He's going to have a ton of strikeouts. To your point, you have McMahon who goes up to bat. He's a strikeout machine. Like, I'm not confident. You know, I do think Grisham, if he changes his approach to be like a Gardner type where he battles at the plate and he's, you know, 10 pitches into
he's never going to change. No, John, I wish, but that's not going to happen. If anything, he's going to go for more power. That's never going to happen. He's not going to change his approach.
But then we're stuck in this mindset of feast or famine. And, yep. You know, when Judge isn't hitting, then we're going to sit there and saying, hey, we're going to be losing these, you know, 2-0, 2-1 ball games if we have good pitching and if they're healthy. Yeah. You know, it makes me nervous, the mindset that Cashman and Steinbrenner have of, you know, tightening the belt and making sure that the budget's, you know, lean and we got to really squeeze everything out. And Cashman's been pretty good at that throughout his career, but I think it's getting to an extreme where, you know, the MLB is changing. You're starting to see, you know, what the Dodgers are doing. You're starting to see what the Mets are doing, and it's a different world out there. And I think Steinbrenner's going to have to realize that in the next 5 to 7 years that maybe this isn't for him, and maybe he needs to take a step back and sell more of his stake. I'm not saying just
well,
yet.
Well, he's not going to do that, John. John, that's where you lose me. Why would he sell? Why? Why would he sell? They're incredible. They're as profitable as anybody. Their valuation was the number one in the sport. I mean, I'd have to double check. I believe the Yankees have a higher valuation than the Cowboys. I'd have to double check that. You know what's interesting thing about this, though? Like, for years, I'm going back in the day. Back in the day, the Yankees bench was unbelievable. I mean, again, I'm going back to back in the day, dynasty back in the days. Like, Chili Davis coming off the bench and Ruben Sierra coming off the bench and, you know, Leyritz coming off the bench and, you know, even some other guys, rotational pieces, a Spencer, a Ricky Ledet. You know the names, right? It's amazing. But then they also had amazing frontline players as well, and that's why they were a dynasty. Everywhere was pretty much either, you know, an elite pitcher or an elite hitter, you know, with multi-tools. Then they kind of morphed into, they had a couple of big names, but their bench became very weak over the years, which was why, it's almost like they ignored it, which is why I was very, I mean, excited's a bit strong, but certainly I was down with the move for Rosario, the move for Caballero, like to give the manager some versatility. And I like that Rosario's back. I like that Caballero's here. I like that Oswaldo Cabrera. He's never going to be a great hitter, but, you know, he's a great clubhouse guy. He's young, play a couple. He's a very good fielder, can play a couple spots. The irony here is that as the Yankees' bench is strengthening, it's almost like too many of the position spots are weakening. And, is that by design? Is that because maybe just some of the young players haven't popped to the degree that they thought that they would? Is it maybe a little bit of both? I don't know. But, like, I'm not messing around. Like, I'm not going into this season if they don't get Bellinger, and I can't wait around and run the risk of him coming back to me just because he loves me. Like, I got to be proactive, and I'm getting a pitcher in the next week or so. I'm signing Michael King. I don't think that they would trade for Peralta, but I'd certainly pick up the phone and try to beat the Mets or somebody else to it. Like, you've got to think of multiple ways to be incredibly competitive. And notice how I'm not even saying multiple ways to be a World Series championship team. Because right now I think the Yankees are far away from that. And my more pressing concern is being buried in April as Cole and Rodon and these guys come back if they don't have a surplus of arms, which without any additions, they won't. Jimmy's down in South Carolina. Jimmy's on the fan with BT. What's up, Jim?
Hey, BT, I just want to say I'm a big fan of yours. I'm a big fan of yours, and we're going to miss you, you know?
Thank you, Jimmy.
Hello?
Yes, I appreciate that, Jimmy. Thank you, pal.
Hey, BT, I was going to ask you, what do you think the Yankees will do this offseason? Do you think, I know the next year, do you think they're going to have a good team next year or a bad team next year? Like, what do you think of, like,
yeah,
who would you like to see the Yankees sign?
Yeah, well, I was just kind of running through that, Jim. I don't know how much of the start of the show you heard. If you missed anything, you could certainly rewind on the Free Odyssey app. But I appreciate you checking in from South Carolina. Thank you, man. Listen, I don't think under any circumstance the Yankees will be terrible unless, or even, you know, not good, unless, God forbid, something happened to Aaron Judge. But, no, you've got to build in some, you know, some checkpoints here. You know, it's easy to sit here in December and say, Rodon's going to get back, he'll be good. Cole's going to get back, he's going to be an absolute horse, and Schlittler's going to be a stud in year two, and he very well might, but I mean, there's a lot of variables, and when there's a lot of variables in the lineup, as there are, and there's some variables certainly in the rotation and the bullpen, well, that is not good in a division that is getting better and better and better. And by the way, more bold and more aggressive by the year with those other teams, really outside of Tampa. Eddie's on Long Island. Eddie, what's going on?
Yeah, BT, happy holidays. How you doing?
I'm good, Eddie. What's happening? Same to you, man.
Yeah, I want to talk about, you know, the Yankees with their rebuild. I mean, I heard that Bellinger could have signed Saturday. I read an article on my phone. I don't know how true that's going to be. I hope he does Saturday.
Eddie, if it's on the phone, it's got to be true, buddy. Got to be true.
Yeah,
just like the Aaron Judge. Yeah, Aaron Judge should be in San Francisco in year three of a contract if all that stuff is true.
Also, I heard they want to sign Verlander because Cole
Verlander.
Is not starting the season. That's horrible. Also, getting McMahon, I mean, they need defense. You got to remember, Toronto in the World Series, 9 straight playoff games without an error they had. And also, their 7, 8, 9 batters batted better than any lineup they put out there,
Eddie,
for the World Series.
Eddie.
So they got to shore up the bottom of their lineup.
Eddie, they got a lot to do, Eddie boy. Thanks for the call, Eddie. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you as well. Yeah, the Yankees have a lot of work. Like, I've said a lot in the first 20 minutes. Let me boil it down to basically one point. Like, if the Yankees don't have a good couple of weeks here, Yankees might not be a playoff team next year. I know that sounds ludicrous in the world of the wild card and the extra wild card and, the Yankee aura, you know, and the Yankee belief, which, you know, has obviously wavered over the years because they haven't won in a long time. But the Yankees always give their fans a good team and a chance and hope. And they're still going to have that going into the season. But it might be a lot more fleeting than we've seen in a while. If things don't work out with the pitchers getting healthy, Bellinger skips out, which I'm a little worried that he might, and they don't do anything else. They have got to think about trying to win a different way. And I actually think that they are. That's why they're connected to some of these pitchers. Now, by the way, some of that is, you know, agents getting the Yankees involved as well. Don't be an idiot. If you're Agent X representing Pitcher Y, what do? You get the Mets involved because Cohen's got money. You get the Yankees involved because they're the Yankees. You get the Dodgers involved. You get the Phillies involved. You get the big spending teams involved, right? But I believe there's some truth to this. I believe the Yankees are thinking about and exploring a different route to trying to win. 888-808-1019 BT on the fan. All the talk around the Mets has actually kind of laid off Brian Cashman a little bit, where he hasn't faced that much heat. Because here we are in the middle of December, and the Yankees have done very, very little. They did bring back Ahmed Rosario a couple of days ago. They did lose Devin Williams. Obviously, Trent Grisham at the beginning of this offseason.
And so really the Yankees still have a lot of work to do. And here's the way I figure. They have about $20 to $25 million to spend if we assume they are not going to blow past their payroll of a year ago. And we also assume that they're not drastically cutting payroll.
Right.
So I'm going to take that assumption that they're doing neither. They have about $20 to $25 million to spend. And while signing Michael King or adding a pitcher, there's nothing wrong with that because pitching is good and you never have enough pitching. The lineup to me needs to be the priority for more than the obvious. It's more than just if they lose Cody Bellinger, how do you replace him? It's also Aaron Judge had another historic year last year. There's no guarantee he's going to do that again. So how do you maintain, I'm not even saying get better because the Yankees had the best offense in baseball last year. How do you maintain that offense when you're going to lose Cody Bellinger, probably get a little bit less production out of Trent Grisham, Jazz Chisholm they're listening on. Like, offense to me, if I only have 20 to 25 mil to spend, has to be my priority.
Yeah, well, I mean, the priority has to be not losing Cody Bellinger first and foremost to make that work. Evan, here's the truth. I don't want to hear another word about you can never have too much starting pitching and the Yankees need to add more starting pitching if they are truly on that budget like you brought up. No matter what happens here, now I guess obviously another injury could poke up. Max Fried will be ready. Luis Gil will be ready if he's not traded. Of course, Will Warren is still there, and Cam Schlittler is still there. And you can manufacture the beginning of the year and buy time until Rodon and Cole come back. The truth is, that's enough starting pitching to start a year, and you assume when those guys get back, you should have more than enough, although I understand you never have enough. The focus has to be on offense because you are playing, what's the saying? You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
I think I said that about the Mets situation, but sure, you can use it for the Yankees as well.
Did you? Maybe that's why it's in my head. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Guess what happened last year during the middle of the year? Aaron Judge got hurt with that UCL injury. We always know Giancarlo Stanton is good for an IL stint or two. You're putting a lot of stock in Ben Rice as your young first baseman, that's going to go absolutely smoothly, and that if he's playing first base every day, of course you don't expect Austin Wells to slump. How the hell do you survive next year without adding a big bat to this offense? I'd love to know. And that's also assuming that Trent Grisham has the same year as last year.
Well, no. I agree with you about that because last year, as much as maybe we didn't feel it watching them all season long, the Yankees scored more runs than any other team in the American League. And they did it by about 50 runs.
Yep.
So a pretty good clearing of the Toronto Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox. If you look at their current roster, you've got Aaron Judge coming back. Aaron Judge hit 53 home runs last year, hit .331 won a batting title, and had an 1,100 OPS. While I do not think Aaron Judge is going to get hurt or he's going to miss half the season or anything crazy like that, I also think that those numbers at some point are just not going to be there. And what I mean by that is Aaron Judge next year could hit .285, hit 45 home runs, and have a .980 OPS, which is really good.
Really good.
But not nearly as good as a year ago. So I almost have to assume that Aaron Judge is going to have to move down just a tad. Not because I'm being negative towards him, but just because of the reality that he has been so historic over the last couple of years that at the age of 34, there's going to be some years that aren't quite as good as others.
Well, not only
that. I have to assume that.
I assume that too, but even if you didn't assume that, even if you assumed the other part of this, Evan, which was it's another unbelievably ungodly Aaron Judge year, if he was Batman last year, who do you think was Robin? It was Cody Bellinger.
No, you're right. So let's go to him. So okay. Cody Bellinger, it is still up in the air. Like, I think it's 50-50 as we sit here today on if they're going to be able to re-sign him or not. Last year, he had 29 home runs, drove in 98 runs, had an 800 OPS. Two things about Cody Bellinger. Number one, no guarantees back. And number two, if you bring him back, his track record tells you there's no guarantees putting up those numbers.
Correct.
In fairness.
I agree.
Because Cody Bellinger, and this is one of the negatives, and I'm sure Met fans will get into it too, he's been up and down over the last couple of years. So whether you retain Cody Bellinger or you don't, there are questions on him matching his numbers. Trent Grisham, you talked about. Trent Grisham had 34 home runs last year, had an 800 OPS. Is he doing that again?
That's the one guy in the lineup, and this is why it goes back to the whole, you know, giving him the qualifying offer and everything went into it. That is the one guy when we talk about, you know, oh, well, can Bellinger do it? Can Judge do it? Can Stanton do it? That, I think, is the one guy that's the hardest lean on. There's no way he replicates that because his career would tell you there's no way. You at least have track records of seasons with Bellinger and Judge where you can envision it happening again.
Now, in fairness, there are guys specifically Jason Dominguez, even Ben Rice, who had a really good year last year, and a guy like Austin Wells, who I would project are going to have better offensive seasons.
Okay.
I also think they'll get more production out of third base just by accident because Oswald Peraza was a 180 hitter before they moved on with Ryan McMahon.
Yeah. Same thing, but not a drastic increase. McMahon's still a very light bat.
I disagree with you. I think a difference between 170 and 210 is drastic.
Okay. Overall, though, the left side of the infield in general is a big fat zero offensively.
But would you not agree that it should be better? You're right. It's not overall good if I'm ranking it against other teams. But let's keep in mind, last year, Anthony Volpe at 212 and struck out 150 times. And before Ryan McMahon was acquired, Oswald Peraza, and I apologize. I want to apologize to the audience. I overstated it. He actually only hit 152.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was bad. But remember, though.
They should be better on the left side of the infield by accident.
By accident. But they also got a great first month from Cabrera, who was out of the world before he got hurt.
Who is now coming back.
Who's coming back.
And that's where I can see more being produced from their offense. But there's a lot where you're not going to see the same. And that gets me to Jazz Chisholm. Brian Cashman said the other day he's open-minded to trading Jazz Chisholm. Now, I think open-minded is a great word. I used that about Francisco Lindor last week. We talked yesterday about the Giant quarterback situation.
You used it about Lugar leaving the show.
I wasn't open-minded. It was something else.
Oh, okay.
But open-minded is fine. Like, I don't want to panic over open-minded. I want to have a discussion about open-minded. If I'm trading Jazz Chisholm, who went 30-30 last year, and we just laid out where the Yankee offense can regress, and there's no guarantee Cody Bellinger is back, you better be getting me something really good. Because when you look at the rest of the infield, we just went over shortstop and third base. How could you just subtract 31-80 and 30 stolen bases and an 800 OPS? Now, again, I'm open-minded, Brian. If you're telling me there's something worthwhile coming back?
Yeah, like you're getting Arraez and Tatis in the same deal back? Sure.
Well, Luis Arraez is a free agent, so you could just sign him.
I've screwed that up. I'm sorry. I assumed he was still a Padre. My bad.
Yes, if Jazz Chisholm is a part of a package for Fernando Tatis Jr., we're all good.
By the way, you hear nothing about Arraez as a free agent,
because no one likes him. He does one thing well. Hits for a high average, doesn't strike out, and stinks at everything else.
There's something to be said about that, though. It's a pretty good thing to do well.
No, I understand. And if you trade Jazz Chisholm, you could simply sign a guy like Luis Arraez and make him your second baseman, but you're losing a lot of pop. And so, again, I'm open-minded about moving Jazz Chisholm, but I want to maintain my offense if I'm the New York Yankees from a year ago. I got to maintain this. I can't go backwards. And right now, with guys on your team, there are a few guys that should go backwards, a few guys that maybe you'll get more production from. Jazz Chisholm hit 31 home runs last year. In fact, Jazz hit 31 and Cody Bellinger hit 29.
He actually hit 32.
32?
He hit one in the home run derby.
That does not count. But nice try. So that could be 60 home runs you're trying to replace.
Oh.
And that's where, open-minded or not, I want to at least maintain or add to my offense and not subtract from it.
It's impossible not to argue. And what that can happen here is when we get to spring training, if they lose out on Bellinger, I'm not even entertaining the idea of Tucker because I assume they're just not interested at all because he hasn't even taken a meeting with them. You can't have Brian Cashman sit at that podium in mid-February and talk about how they expect to get that offensive production simply by Ben Rice taking another step forward and Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones, who I do want to see and I'm excited about. But that's just asking way too much from unknowns. There has to be a move. And if you're down to every last cent and every last dollar, I don't want to hear about Michael King. I don't even right now want to hear about Luke Weaver returning, even though there was reports about that today. Every dime, if you are rubbing these pennies together, has to go towards maintaining this offense.
Well, but there's a way to maintain this offense without it being Cody Bellinger. Like,
okay,
what I have is any of the young infielders, like Bo Bichette specifically.
Okay.
Alex Bregman, not quite as young, and certainly the price tag may be higher.
They weren't in on Bregman last year. What makes you think they'd be this year?
I don't think they will be. I'm telling you, I can continue to maintain my offense while losing Cody Bellinger if I take my assets and actually move it more towards the infield. Because, again, you just talked about it. The infield has holes all over the place.
It's just when you go back and look at what the 2009, George is rolling over in his grave, okay? The 2009 Yankees infield and look at this Yankees infield.
A-Rod, Jeter, Cano, and Teixeira.
Look at this now.
No, I get you. So that's how you can do it. And I'm not saying the Yankees are going to do it. Like, there's a big difference, as we always talk about. There's a difference between what I would do, what a caller would do, what Sean would do, what Tiki would do, and what we think the Yankees are going to do. Yeah. I'm okay losing Cody Bellinger if I'm taking that money and I'm adding somebody to my infield so that I'm not overly reliant on Ryan McMahon and Oswaldo Cabrera and Jose Caballero, who, by the way, are all nice players, but they're all flawed players. And they're all guys that's tough to rely on to get 500 or 600 plate appearances.
Here's the scary part. You're bringing up a totally rational, hey, if you lose Cody Bellinger, you could do this, this, and this. It certainly feels like to me, the Yankees are so fixated on the idea of like Cody Bellinger, maybe it's them, maybe it's the Mets. I don't get the vibe they have any sort of true backup plan that involves spending money if they do lose him. And for a Yankee fan perspective, it scares the living daylights out of me.
No, I get you.
Wait, like you're saying all rational things. There's been zero breadcrumbs of any of these players linked to the Yankees.
No,
zero.
But I think what you need to do about that during this offseason is take a deep breath.
Like,
why
the Red Sox are meeting with everybody just so they have backup plans?
No, I get that. I'm saying the healthiest response to an offseason is not to get too crazy about rumors, but get crazy about the results. So when Cody Bellinger leaves, if he does, or some of the other players that the Yankees aren't linked to signs elsewhere, I say go nuts. I say go crazy. But the one thing about the offseason is there are rumors for misleading reasons. And I gave this example briefly yesterday.
They call that rumors and innuendo.
That's what they do call that. Conrad, the mortgage guy, is the one who created that phrase.
Oh, yeah. Was he?
You don't know who he is.
I have no idea.
He hosts the greatest podcast ever created.
The Joe Rogan Show?
No, that's the second best podcast.
One Giant Step?
That's the fourth greatest podcast.
Okay. Talking Giants?
Talking Giants is 12th, actually.
What about the Rico Bronya?
15th.
Okay, what about Lou Gehrig's Knicks podcast? He never started.
Doesn't have one
That's
yet.
Right.
What was I going to say again?
Conrad Hamilton.
Oh, no. His name is not Hamilton. The point is, just because the Yankees are linked to somebody doesn't mean they're actually going after them. And just because the Yankees aren't linked to somebody doesn't mean they aren't. Keep that in mind. This is rumor season. This is crazy season. So, for example, I don't think the Yankees are seriously pursuing Michael King. I don't either. I think that Michael King is, according to Jack Curry, he said this 3 weeks ago, not about King specifically, but about the Yankees being linked and used in the marketplace. They're being used. Michael King is probably getting offers from the Orioles and the Red Sox and who knows who else, and wants the Yankees involved to drive up interest. So I personally don't buy that rumor, but I also think, just to make you feel better, just because the Yankees haven't been attached to certain players doesn't mean they're not quietly talking to those certain players. And I'll tell you a name specifically that I've warmed up to that I also think would be a really good addition to try to maintain the offensive production from last year.
Okay.
And the problem with a name like this is we're all going to say, come on, Ev, you don't know what this guy's going to be. But if you read the description of him, I think he makes sense. And that's Kazuma Okamoto, the third baseman / first baseman from Japan.
Okay.
He's 29 years old. He's a right-handed hitter. He plays third base and he plays first base. And if you look at his production in Japan, he's had 5 years in which he hit over 30 home runs, had OPSs in the 900s. And again, a right-handed hitter who can play third base and first base. What a concept for a team that's going to go into the start of the year relying on Ryan McMahon and Ben Rice.
Now, remind me again, is this the Japanese player that can hit fastballs over 93 miles an hour?
No, that's Murakami, and that report is not true.
It's not true.
The data on that is not accurate. You're talking about Munetaka Murakami, who is more of a defensive liability.
Okay.
And will probably project as a DH over here and could put up massive numbers. But Okamoto is very different. Okamoto is a right-hand hitter who defends at a very high level.
Okay.
Doesn't have the prodigious power that Murakami has, but he also doesn't swing and miss nearly as much.
So a nice contact, doubles in the gap kind of hitter?
Well, he had 41 home runs in 2023.
All right, see, now I'm interested. Why are we not hearing about this? When's the posting date?
Nobody is linked to him right now. This is what I'm talking about with rumors. Like, I keep Googling to find out what the hell's going on.
And by the way, not a bad thing to get back in the Japanese market and show that not everybody has to be a Dodger.
And not a bad thing to improve your infield.
Like, sure.
I like Cody Bellinger. I think we all do. And if money was no object, bring him back. Bring Okamoto in. Let's go to town. But if the way I started the show is true, where they really only have about $20 to $25 million to spend, I do think a right-handed hitting infielder who's a plus defender, who could turn out to be a better offensive player than Cody Bellinger, actually makes more sense. So to me, Yankee fans, it's not Cody Bellinger or bust. It's I got to replace his production or bust.
I'd be Okamotivated to sign him at that point.
I'm glad I sold you.
Yeah.
Do you need me to laugh every time you make that joke, or can we just move on?
I didn't make a joke.
No, he didn't make a aka motivated.
Oh, that just came
Don't
to
play
me.
This game off.
No, no, you're playing a game.
I didn't know what I said.
Sometimes they just come out, Evan.
By the way.
You did sell me on that, though. That is interesting.
We haven't decided on the day of the week yet, but we have been collecting Sean Morash puns.
I have
a whole list right in front of me. I'm going to add the aka motivated to it. And we just need to figure out which day of the week we should use to rank your puns.
Okay, we got to get them in, too, because that was part of my new deal for 2026. I was told to phase those out. Don't do them anymore.
Who said that?
That's just what I heard.
Phase them out?
I was told. Upper management. My
really?
Yeah, phase
so they
them
didn't
out.
Like that about you.
They said be a professional.
Sure. Interesting.
So I'm getting them all in now.
What day of the week would you like us to re-rank all your puns? You want it all? I mean, a Friday I don't love as much because we already do idiots with idiots.
Yeah, sure.
So I feel like it's got to be a different day of the week.
Okay, but here's the problem. There's not many of these days left with all of us.
What are you all dying?
We put all of us doing a show together?
Who cares about all of us? No offense to Tommy. The show's going to continue when he's doing nights.
Yeah, he means the new year, dummy.
Oh, in
going
the new
forward.
Year? Yes. We're going extinct in a week?
No, I thought that was part of this afternoon show.
No, it's a part of the show. Just because we're moving to a different time slot doesn't mean we change everything.
Ask friends about that.
Cinco de Luncho is a morph of Cinco de Fivo. You're going to be the same annoying self. Tiki's going to be Tiki. I'm me. Like, what do you think happens at 10 a.m.? We morph into, like, Cinderella?
When the show Doug moved to a Saturday morning cartoon, Mr. Swirly left the truck and opened up his own ice cream stand. Things change, okay?
What Sean is trying to say is it'll be canceled by 2027.
Listen.
Good thing I signed a multi-year contract.
You know what, Evan, I've realized? You pick the date. I'll be there.
You know what, Tommy? As your last, like, major decision... What day of the week should Sean's puns from the week be ranked?
Wednesdays.
Wednesdays?
I like it. Midweek. Good for football season.
I like
break in the action.
Midweek pun day.
Yep. Midweek.
I like that.
Coincides with ratings week's ending.
That's very true.
How about that?
Look, he's learned so much about radio in the last couple of years.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.